Joining me now, however, is Dr. James Thorpe, OBGYN, the first OBGYN to come forward publicly in America, putting it all on the line. And he could, folks, he could lose his license over this if we know anything about the way the power elite are working today. Dr. James Thorpe, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me back this evening. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Where's the standard poodle tonight?
Well, he's out with my beautiful bride eating dinner, so he's got more important things to do.
All right. Well, good for him. I totally understand. Mine is still over here sleeping, as is the tradition every night during the show. Hey, guys in the control room, come out here and turn on my humongous monitor, will you, so I can see what he looks like and see him tonight.
I just want to say how much I appreciate your staff. I stayed up most of the night last night pulling out the more recent VAERS data, and your staff put it together. I put together the stats, and between Jill and
Logan, and
Brogan, they did awesome, and thank you so much.
Well, no, thank you. Logan and Jill do great work. I appreciate your acknowledging them. Well, let's go to your first slide here tonight. Logan will show this for us. This is a beautiful slide that Jill made. Look at that. Vaccine deaths in VAERS. You want to talk us through that? I'm assuming you can see it, right, Doctor?
Yes, I can. So basically what we're looking at is VAERS data. And over in the blue, you'll see the column COVID-19 vax in blue. And you'll see that there are 20,244 deaths, and that's in 10 months. So on the vertical axis, or the y-axis as we call it, there's 2,024 deaths per month when you look at the deaths per month. And of course, that's the only rational way to do it, because this is only 10 months of data. So what we did here is we're comparing the 10 months of data, both of these, with all other vaccinations in the 30-year history, 360 months, all other vaccinations pale in comparison. Only 9,404 deaths.
Just over 9,000. So 9,404 deaths, but that's in 30 years due to vaccine injury, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Of course, so that's 9,404 too many, though.
Of course it is. Absolutely right it is. So when we look at that first slide, we're seeing that, and we do a comparison statistically, you'll see that the p-value, what that means is there's really only a 1 in 10,000 chance that could ever occur by chance alone. So that's what a p-value means. And typically, we use a p-value of 0.05, 1 in 20, of being statistically significant, 1 in 20 or less. Well, this is clearly, you know, very, very low, 1 in 10,000. So I think that all your viewers can look at the VAERS data. And with this beautiful slide that Jill and Brogan worked up it for me graphically, it just depicts it, I mean, quite strikingly.
Yes,
now, this is data straight from VAERS. So this is not manipulated. Now we're looking at graph number two here. And what we've done here is we've looked at the comparison of the COVID-19 vaccination, again, the same blue bar on the left, but now we're comparing it to the influenza vaccines, and there's many of them over the past 30 years. And again, you see a striking, when they're indexed per month, okay, you see a striking increase in deaths associated with the COVID vaccination.
So COVID vaccines were at 2,024 per month dead in a 10-month period, 2,024. But over a 30-year period, which equals 360 months. We have 5.8 dying per month. So 5.8 per month over 30 years versus 2,024 dead from the COVID shot in 10 months.
That's correct. You nailed it. And again, the p-value you see above that is so low, it's incalculable, really. It's much lower than that. So again, this is there's no data manipulation here. I know VAERS data very, very well. And I use, I've spoke with the Silicon Valley developers of the VAERS data. And so, and the monitoring of the VAERS data. So I'm intimately familiar with how to analyze it. What you see is what you got. There's no data manipulation here. So I think that the data speaks for itself. The third slide. Now, what you're looking at here is what we're talking about, fetal malformations in VAERS. And again, this is right out of VAERS, and I was I extracted this data. There's no data manipulation. There's no gray area. This is straight from VAERS, okay? I didn't take it from somebody else's analysis. This is my own analytics that I did myself, and I can vouch for the veracity of this data, okay, to the extent that VAERS is reasonable. And it has been a very reasonable signal to mark dangers. We look at the VAERS as a red light, yellow light, and green light. And in this particular case, like with the first two slides, we have flashing red lights and sirens all over the place. This is the data that is extraordinarily concerning to me. And this needs to be understood by all the viewers. And also for all, we talked, you know, we talked last night a little bit about how Dr. Robert Malone and his colleague talked about the 30% of population that is totally brainwashed. They're not able to change their mind. They can't change their narrative, and they don't have the cognitive psychiatric capability of reviewing and looking at new data and then adjudicating or changing their decision based on real data. They simply can't do it. So, you know, again, when I present this data to my colleagues, and there's many of them all over the country, the doctors and the nurses and that 30%, they can't argue the data with me. So they mock me, they deride me, they call me, this is just nonsense and it's propaganda. This is not propaganda, folks. And if you, in the top 30% there, let's have a rational discussion. You know, you and the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, you know, maybe there's something you know that I don't know, or there's some data that you've studied that I haven't studied, but what you see is what you got. And this drug never, this vaccine never should have been administered to any pregnant woman or any child. Okay, we can talk about other sectors of the population that may benefit, you know, maybe those over 80, maybe those over 70, but not in pregnant women and children.
Right.
So
let me have you go back to this slide, Logan. Fetal malformations in the VAERS reporting. So are you saying that the VAERS, the government data, because I haven't studied it like you have, but you're saying that there are doctors actually reporting to the government through the VAERS system how many babies have died from this?
This is a fetal malformation rate. Now the last slide is going to be what the pregnancy loss.
Okay, so malformations means what to the layperson?
I'm sorry. A fetal malformation is an abnormality in the development of the brain.
Okay.
There's an anatomical malformation that has developed in the womb and that's diagnosed. So it's a pretty black and white thing. So this is straight from VAERS data. It's straight from VAERS data. Wow. And there's no ability to manipulate that data. You check the field, you look at it, and you do the comparison.
But it is underreported, big time, right?
Oh, huge time, probably more than any other year or any other vaccine in the history of VAERS.
So why? What do you think the real number is? I mean, the reason why, I think I'd interrupt you, but I think the reason why is because it's very laborious to get the report even in, isn't it, doctor?
It's very laborious, and I have patients and doctors all over the country that have made reportings to VAERS, and they won't acknowledge, they won't get a receipt, and they won't receive it. In fact, that's the rule rather than the exception. I've not talked to any patients or any doctors that have gone through and said, yeah, they took it, it's in, it's verified. Not a one. So, I think that there's a lot of intimidation. There's a lot of people that cannot deal, they're in that top 30%. Because, you know, I understand they're threatened, they have to go with a narrative. And if they don't go with a narrative, and they don't have the courage and boldness, they just have to stick with a narrative to keep their income coming and, you know, to keep status quo. It's very difficult to do what I'm doing. I don't like doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely. And again, the more you talk, the more you increase the risk of losing your license, right?
Not only my license in four states, but my entire career has been excelled in my board certification with the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And they won't really engage me on this topic. You know, please, ABOG members, you know, Dr. George Wendell and all, let's sit down and have a civil collegial discussion about, you know, maybe there is something you don't know that I don't know, and maybe you can convince me. But until somebody can convince me, every alarm and every system has failed to, it's been ignored. The sirens couldn't be blaring louder. The flashing red lights from all different indicators couldn't be flashing as brightly as they are, and they're being totally ignored.
So what do you think the real number here is, doctor? You have 72.5 or 72.5 per month children being born. Are these children, you say fetal, is this in the womb, or are they we're seeing these malformations, or is this children that have been born or come out, you know, have been delivered? I guess some of them, of course, are coming earlier due to being premature and stuff. Help us lay people understand what is the standard here for getting this, inside or outside the womb?
It's inside the womb. And it's either recognized inside the womb with an ultrasound that we do, or it is missed and then diagnosed after birth. That's what would be categorized as a maldevelopment, an anatomical, a birth defect.
Okay, so some of it they're not seeing until the child's born.
It might be seen on the ultrasound earlier, and I'm seeing a lot of them earlier.
What does it look like? Are we talking physical things you would physically see?
All types, the whole gamut. What I'm seeing, and again, this is difficult because no investigator has the ability to pull this data and to analyze it because it's politically incorrect, and it's in essence, I can't do it. Nobody can really do it. But what I am seeing is the typical markers of inflammation that have, we talked about the nanolipid particles distributing, crossing the placenta, going to the fetus, causing problems with the placenta, causing problems with fetal growth, causing inflammation in the fetus, causing significant failure to grow, failure to thrive in the womb, seeing inflammation in the brain, hydrocephalus, and you can get a variety of other abnormalities, of course, depending upon when the vaccination may have occurred in relative to conception and postnatal.
So what do you think, if the number with VAERS is 72.5 per month of fetal malformations, What do you think the real number is, since the VAERS is so underreported? What do you think the real number is?
Multiply it by anywhere from 40 to 100. Dr. Jessica Rose, Newfoundland, has done a terrific job, and she's actually picked a very clever way, which I won't go into, but very clever and unique. She's a brilliant young investigator,
so we're talking somewhere 3,000. I guess you're at 40%, 3,000, around 3,000 to full 100%, over 7,000, 7,200 children a month with fetal malformations.
It could be that high. It certainly could be that high.
If I did my math right on the 40%, 72.5 times 40, yes, 2,900. Of course, obviously, so, times 100 would be 7,250, right?
Right. So just 40 to 50 times whatever numbers you see from VAERS is classic. So, say pick 40, you know, and you look at the death rate, then, you know, 40 times the 20,000 deaths, you're looking at 800,000 deaths associated with a vaccination.
That's on the malformations. Okay, that was just the malformations. Now we're on to the deaths.
The deaths were the first slide. Right. The first slide.
I was talking about just on the baby side, the fetal malformation side.
Okay. On the fetal malformation side, yeah, you'd say if you're talking about if there's been 725 total, then multiply that times 40 or multiply it times 100, you know?
Because I was doing the 72.5 times 40 for a month, because 70, that'd be 72.5 times 40, that would be 2,900 a month.
That's right.
Times 10, now we're at 29,000.
It's a very serious issue.
For the 10 months.
There would be no reason in the world for that this could be planned to have this many. If anything, it would be less than that. This is what VAERS shows. And for the editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine to say, well, we simply have no data and we're just going to roll it out in the children. Well, that's what he did in pregnancy. Okay? That's what he's done in children. That's the antithesis of science. That's backwards. It is my opinion that the vaccination never should have been released until a randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled trial was done that I designed in September of 2020. It was ignored. And now everybody that has been vaccinated, the physicians, even in the middle 40% and the top 30%, 70% of individuals, they're going to say, since they've been irrevocably they can't take the vaccine back. That's one and done. It's all over. Okay. So that they have to, in order to not really get upset and anxious, either consciously or subconsciously, they have to deny all the deaths and all the carnage and say, well, that would have happened anyways. And that's how, that's what's coming off here.
Let's go to the next slide.
Delusional psychosis.
Now, this is pregnancy loss in VAERS. Again, this is the government's own data, okay? You've got 2,000, now this is, again, it's pregnancy loss. 273.7. So let's just round it up. 274 a month over 10 months, or 2,737 in the total 10 months. But again, if we did the 40 to 100%, that'd be more accurate probably, right?
That's right. Now, I do want to spend a little bit more time on this slide, because the first three graphs that I showed you are black and white. There's really no interpretation. The problem with looking at pregnancy loss, and this is why I like to point out to a lot of my colleagues that are in different specialties, is pregnancy loss is variously interpreted, say a miscarriage, or a fetal death. It's variously misinterpreted by everybody. So the people that are putting it in VAERS, they're not clinicians like me. They're not even OBGYN doctors. They're usually not even physicians. They're just data entry people. And they just put in, they don't know the difference between a miscarriage or a spontaneous abortion or a fetal death. They don't know that.
And just for the maybe younger audience watching, spontaneous abortion doesn't mean they went and got abortion. That's, you're saying, that's another way of saying miscarriage.
Absolutely correct. Very important. A spontaneous abortion equals a miscarriage. It's a natural loss. And like I said the other night, I think that within a week after conception, before a woman even knows she's pregnant, the spontaneous miscarriage rate may be 80%. But at 19 weeks, that even at 12 weeks, that drastically drops when we have a fetal heart rate. And at 19 weeks, it's very rare.
Let me make something real clear here. You just said, you're saying there could be a lot of women having miscarriages who never even knew they were pregnant, much less they had a miscarriage?
Absolutely. Because conception occurs, you know, and 2 weeks before they've missed a period, right? So they don't know they're pregnant. So that's why I'm saying if you test by sophisticated, you know, HCG pregnancy test, even the urines are very, very accurate now. And you'll have a positive pregnancy test and then just a normal menstrual cycle. And the woman would have never known she'd miscarried. But that's very, very common, 80%. But as you, every week of gestation, especially when you get up to 12 weeks and you have a heartbeat, then that risk dramatically drops.
Are you hearing reports of, I mean, I guess this would be in here, but maybe it wouldn't be in here because, again, they wouldn't know to report it. Because they don't know that it's a pregnancy loss due to the shot, so they wouldn't report it. So I guess the question I'm asking is, are you hearing across the country of a higher rate of miscarriages right now?
I am, but I'm concerned about, I'm trying to be objective and analytic and putting my clinical research mind, as opposed to the first three slides, if there's any murkiness and dirtiness of the data, it's in that last slide. Because I don't know how the coders coded a miscarriage at 12 weeks, a miscarriage at 16 weeks, or a fetal death at 20 weeks. I don't know how they coded it. And most people don't have that knowledge, even other physicians. So that last slide, again, it shouldn't have changed. You know, when you look at the pregnancy loss from all the other vaccinations of 360 months, everything should have, you know, all of that variance in accurate interpretation should have come out in the wash because it's so much. And it shouldn't have changed between the red bar, which is the 30 years of all the other vaccinations, and the blue bar, which is the pregnancy loss associated with the COVID-19 vaccination. So I clearly there's a statistically greater loss, and clearly the murky, dirty data is going to be on both sides, and it probably shouldn't have changed. So I'm very confident with fetal death rates definitely increasing and fetal malformation rates definitely increasing. I've heard that all over the world and all over the country, all over Canada. I've spoke with people.
Wow. So where do we go from here? I mean, what do you, I know you're saying you only bring it up if your patients ask, but let me ask you this then. Do you have patients calling you, or these aren't the kind of patients you see, but are you getting calls from ladies saying, hey, I just had a miscarriage and I just gotten a shot and I think there's a connection?
I have. And it's very, very difficult for me to counsel that patient. You know, the last thing that I ever want to do is the primum non nocere, first do no harm, is my Hippocratic oath. And, you know, the most important thing that I can do with a patient is to hear their pain, acknowledge their pain. And it's very, very dangerous for me to be making any suggestions of etiology, because it's really, really important to allow a patient to grieve and to not place any blame on anything, because ultimately we don't know for sure.
So again, correct me if I'm wrong, if we take that number of 2,737 babies that have died according to the government's own data, and let's say this is underreported by 100%, that's 273,700 babies that have died because of this COVID shot.
That's possible. That's speculation. It's, you know, what you're doing is really, you're extrapolating the data, which is a reasonable thing to do. I think if you take Jessica Rose's 41 figure, it would be more like 800,000. You take 40 times, you know, 20,000, that's about 800,000. And you know, I think that's...
Wait, where are you getting the 20,000 from? That's 2,737 in 10 months. Where are you getting...
I was talking about deaths, the first slide.
Oh, the first slide. Okay, I'm talking about the babies. If we did the 2,737 and you just did it by 40, that'd be 109,000, over 109,000 babies.
That's right. 112,000, about 300,000 patients in this past year were pregnant and probably vaccinated, but that's an estimate on my side. And I think that it could be as high as 110,000 losses if you do rational, logical extrapolation of the underreporting.
And I'm going to go back to this one here. You're saying that one, total deaths, we're not talking the, are we, babies are not included in this one, or are they? Is this everybody?
No. No, this is
everybody. Oh, this is everybody?
This is children or everybody.
So this would be everybody, adults, children, babies, everybody.
Not fetuses, of course.
Not preborn.
That's correct.
Okay, so let's go to this number here, 20,244. What do you think the real number is then on this one? Multiply it by 41?
I think multiply it by 41, and I think that would be certainly very logical and very is best the data that we have. Yes, and that's from the Dr. Jessica Rose, which I think has the most rational.
So that puts us at 830,004 dead due to the shot.
Associated with the shot. Be careful about implying causation.
Okay.
Because VAERS doesn't imply causation. It can never do that.
Explain that more.
Okay, so, you know, the easiest way to explain that is if you take causal and casual, they're very similar, but all you're doing is changing the two vowels, right, with a consonant, casual and causal. So to imply a causal relationship is you can't do it from a retrospective study. You could have done it from the study that I designed, and it would say, okay, that's causal. VAERS was never meant, Brannon, to implicate causality. It's always been association. It's always been a surveillance tool with a red light, yellow light, green light. And that's what we fail to ignore. Now all of the folks in the government and the clinicians are saying, oh, well, VAERS is just, you know, it's association, it's not causation. Well, of course it's not. It never has been. But it's a very valuable surveillance tool, and we've ignored all the warning signals.
So if we take this number of 2,024 a month at 10 months, and we add another 2 months to it, that puts us, my math puts us at 900, and we do that by 41, which you think is a more accurate number. Since VAERS is underreported, we want to be a conservative number. We have multiplied by 41. That would put us, if you go 2,024 times 12 times 41, that would put us at 995,808 in a year. So you're saying that we could just be 5,000, less than 5,000 short of a million people dying connected to this shot.
It's possible.
And if you take that then and you think about how many of those children, those individuals, those adults who don't become adults, go back to the ones with the babies, or those that are in this that are young and are still in their breeding years, you can start really quickly seeing what it's going to do to our population rate, because now these people aren't here to procreate. And I just read a study today that the birth rates in America have fallen off. I mean, I have to go back and read this study, but I want to say there it's like a 200-year slump in our birth rate. Have you seen that same study?
Yes, I have.
So that in the next 20 to 30 years, that they were projecting out 30 years, we're not going to have enough people in 30 years in America. I'm speaking for just America. The study was saying, and that study had nothing to do with this. I was just reading that story that said, well, we've got a problem with birth rates. They ain't seen nothing yet because we got people that should have been here who died before they were born, the fetals, you know, the preborn. We've got people who have died after who are never grew up. We've got people who are young who've died. And we haven't even talked yet about the sterilization of those who are breeding years that are still alive. We're just still talking about the dead that were never going to come of age to breed and to procreate. And those that were of procreation age can still do that. If you add that in there to what is already the problem they're projecting 20 to 30 years out, that's a problem for supporting our unfunded liabilities, Social Security, et cetera, tax system, military. This is if the jihadis and everybody just leave us alone, it sounds like we're going to collapse on our own, barring anything else, we'll collapse just on the massive decline in birth rates in America in the next 30 years.
It's very possible. I guess you're a little bit more optimistic than me. I don't know that I'm going to be. We're going to be here in 30 years.
I hope we're not here in 30 days, Doctor. I hope I'm out of here. I hope I'm raptured. I don't know where you come in with your eschatology, but I'm hoping to be raptured out of here in the next 30 minutes, maybe.
Harpazo, amen, brother. I mean, China has even a worse problem than we do for different reasons. They're in great trouble too, with a massive drop in their population. That's for different reasons, for selective abortion of female fetuses.
Right. And so I'm just talking about it from just the long-term approach of all of these people, so many of these people, want to decrease our population. Bill Gates has talked about, his vaccines could help decrease population. I'm pretty sure I've watched him say that in a video. We have Maurice Strong, who headed up the Earth Summit in Rio in 92, all of these people talking about depopulation, even Jacques Cousteau, when he was around, was bragging about how many people needed to be eliminated. We had some scientist I quoted in one of my books years ago that was talking about we need Ebola that would take down 90% of the world's population. These people, if again, things play out for 20 to 30 years, which I don't think they will, all things being equal, and it's just the population rates all we got to worry about, again, not outside other forces that can come in, just the trajectory on the population rate doesn't bode well. But then you add in everything else that's going on. These people, though, are well on their way to accomplishing their goal of depopulation, is what I'm saying.
They want to take, apparently, they want to take the population down to 500 million. God wrote their Ten Commandments on stone, 4,000 years ago. Seems like the New World Order wrote their Ten Commandments in stone, too. It's in Northwest Georgia, the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah. And for those who don't know what he's talking about, in Northwest Georgia, you can go look them up, the Georgia Guidestones. There's speculation as to who put them up there, but those Guidestones include many things that they want to have accomplished, and one of them is getting the world's population down to, what did you say, 500 million?
Yes. That's killing about 6.5 billion people. That's a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's a sinister to actually have that written in stone.
Isn't it? It really is. All right, so as we get ready to conclude, do you have a website?
I do not have a website, but for your listeners, my email is J-A, as in James, my first name, initial, my middle name, Alan, J-A Thorpe, T-H-O-R-P, there's no E on the end of my Thorpe, at Bell, as in ring a bell, south direction, south, J-A Thorpe at bellsouth.net. And for any of you listeners out there, please, if you have a pregnancy complication, or if you have a baby that's been damaged and you had the vaccination in pregnancy, please contact me. It's really the only way we can get meaningful research now.
Have you heard anything since you made that announcement last night?
Yes, I have.
I'm afraid your inbox is going to fill up.
So be it. I mean, I have a lot of other avenues, and I'm in contact with literally hundreds, probably closer to 1,000 physicians all over the country, all over the world, that are like-minded on a highly secure platform that I won't mention. And so I have a lot of data available to me, and I have a lot of information available to me, and I'm very confident in the statements that I'm making.
And have you heard from any licensure group or anybody or insurance group or anybody that's coming after you for reprisals or anything right now?
No. You know, my employer adores me. They love me. They worship the ground I walk on, all the administrators, all my patients, all my care providers, all my colleagues. And I do them for good reason, you know, and I won't mention my employer. I love what I do. God created me to take care of the fetus in the womb and high-risk pregnancy. And I want to keep doing it. You know, I love my employer. They're the best employer I've ever had. I haven't heard from any of the licensing agencies. I have heard from the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And I would again challenge them, Dr. George Wendell, Dr. Susan Raymond, come, let's talk about this. We can do it collegially, and let's talk in a public forum.
Well, I was going to say, I would volunteer to fly them at our expense, their airfare, their hotel, here to the Memphis area, and we would gladly love to have them live on the set with you and take calls. If they don't want to take calls, they don't have to. But
would you please contact Dr. George Wendell?
Yeah, you get me his contact information. I'll offer to fly him in, put him up in a nice hotel, bring him to the desk with you and any other doctors, and then air it, you know, so that it can't be edited.
Let me debate anybody in the world. Let me debate any, and gwendell@abog.org. That's Dr. Wendell, Dr. Wendell's, George Wendell's email.
Give me it again, please.
gwendell@abog.org. Please contact him and please invite him on or invite the whole board on, because maybe they can help me understand. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe 25,000 or 24,000 OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine doctors in the country deserve to be threatened with a threat that has no definition. Yeah. Maybe we deserved it. Maybe there's something I don't know, but I'd really like to talk about it publicly, and I would like to debate anybody in the world on this subject.
Absolutely. And we would graciously you know, invite them and pay for their airfare and lodging and roll out the red carpet and then come in here and have a great conversation and open it to the public live so it can't be edited, and everybody would be gracious and professional, and it'd be a great broadcast. We would definitely invite that.
I promise, for those of you who disagree with me, I have a great amount of respect for you. I do. I respect all opinions, and I respect you, and I just love to have a collegial argument to kind of help me with this cognitive dissonance.
Yes. Yes, I love that word, cognitive dissonance. We've done a whole show on that. Okay, Doc, thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Anytime you need to come back, please do. And I'm sure pretty quick in the new year, we'll be coming to you to have you back on with any new information you have. But if you have new information, you contact us immediately, will you?
I'd be honored. Would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Would you please have Logan send me a copy of those beautiful slides?
Yes.
It was my data, but he did all the work.
And yeah, Jill and Logan did a great job. We'll email them over to you right now, Doc.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Doc. Dr. James Thorpe checking in, folks, and we'll have him back on. You can count on that.